One, two, test. Good. No more red. Can you guys hear me out there? Can you hear me now? What about now? Okay, I think we're good. For some odd reason, I almost feel like saying, get to the chopper! Do it now! How awesome was that video? Kind of took me back, being from California. You know, I don't know if you guys know, but he was our actual governor.
The governor.
One of the reasons I had to leave California, because I knew, you know, if he was going to run it, never mind. Amen. So before we get started, we'll be reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. I'll give you guys a chance to get there for those of you who like to follow along. Let me know you're there with an amen. And if you forgot your Bible, shame on you. No. Say amen. But my boy Ryan back there has got you guys' back. So show him some love. He hooked it up there on the Jumbotron. So it's right behind me if you want to follow along. Beginning at verse 1, it says, About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and put a child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sin and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it never returns back void, Father, but it's there to wash and to cleanse our hearts, Father, to purify our minds so that we could be well-pleasing to who you are. So, Father, as we learn and we dive into your word, Lord, we pray that your promise would come to pass, Father, that your spirit would enlighten our hearts, that you would allow us to understand and see what you want to speak to us today. We thank you and we give you all the glory and honor. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Let's go back to verse 1 and break this down. It says, about that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And just to give you guys a brief backstory of what was going on here, Jesus was performing amazing miracles. He had fed the 5,000. He was turning, you know, water into wine. The disciples got to see him transfigured. He was casting out demon-possessed, casting out demons out of the demon-possessed. So prior to the disciples were seeing these amazing things. So they come to him and they said, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And just to understand what the disciples were asking here, that word greatest, in the Bible, you know, when they use that word, as I was doing my word search, there was a lot of things that you can insert there, because there's not a clear definition that this is exactly what it meant. But as I was looking at the possibilities of what it could be, something caught my attention, and it was the Greek word megas. So they were basically asking, who are the top dogs? Who are the princesses? The Bible says that word can be translated into prince, into high official, into great men. So they were asking Jesus, who are the creme de la creme? Who are the Donald Trumps, the movers and the shakers, the ones that are making the most noise in the kingdom of heaven? And so scripture is not clear on what the motivation of the disciples was. It doesn't give us a clear definition if they were very sincere, if they really wanted to make an amazing impact in the kingdom of God. It doesn't specify if maybe they had a bad motive and they wanted some status. The Bible doesn't make that clear, and I really do believe that it left it broad, because a lot of us come into the kingdom of God with different motives. Amen. And when we're in the kingdom, sometimes we come in with a skewed view. And that's the amazing thing about God, is that he doesn't require for us to be perfect to enter into his kingdom. He begins to perfect us when you know, on our way there. Amen. That's what I love the most about serving our God, is His amazing grace that He has for His children, as we just sing that song. And so here, one of the things that kind of struck me from that as well is that here are the disciples. These are people that walked with Jesus, that were intimate with Jesus, that ate with Him, that sat with Him, that slept where He slept, and were hanging out where He was hanging out. And so they come and they ask this question. Jesus was constantly pouring into them. He was investing His time, His effort into them. And so I could only assume that maybe they were sincere. Maybe they were watching all that Jesus was doing, all that the master was doing, and they wanted in the action. And I really feel like kind of that correlates to us, because sometimes we're in the kingdom of God. We come to church, and sometimes we probably sit in the pew and we wonder, man, you know, I want to do something for the kingdom of God. I want to maybe preach, or I want to maybe teach. I want to be, as they said, you know, involved in the children's ministry. I challenge you guys, you know, step out. God does some amazing things with ordinary people. Like, I'm a testimony to that. I'll testify to that all day, every day. So let's continue here in verse 2. I want to look at the answer that Jesus gave the disciples. So the question was, who is the greatest? Now Jesus called a child to Him and put the child among them. I bet the disciples, when they asked the question, were probably expecting for Jesus to take them to the synagogue, show them an amazing building, you know, packed out with tens of thousands of people, with an amazing worship band, you know, the Rolling Stones, the magnitude of the Rolling Stones, and saying, once you get this, then you're great into the kingdom of God. Or once you start performing miracles and casting out demons like me, then you're great. Once you start resurrecting the dead, once you are able to pray and the Buffalo Bills actually win a Super Bowl, then you're great and amazing. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus brings a child to them. So I can imagine that the disciples were kind of perplexed, because here they are. Think about it. They're asking Him for the formula to greatness, to being great. And Jesus brings a child. And so it's amazing what God showed me is that here these men are, and God is showing His heart to us, that He redirects their hearts from wanting to be great men to becoming humble children. In verse 3, then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, why does God want us to become like humble children? Does anybody know the answer? I was kind of hoping, man, now my whole sermon's ruined here now. I'm kidding. I really do believe that God wants us to come as humble children, is because that's how He's glorified. When we lower ourselves and make Him our number one priority, He's glorified. So we have to have that mentality. And I really do feel that God is beginning to move. His Spirit is beginning to move here in this church. He's brought us an amazing pastor all the way from Texas, someone that really is truly in love with Christ, somebody whose heart is not to move CCC forward, but it's to move the kingdom of God. And I really do believe when God is moving here, we need to be humble. We need to have that humility inside of us to recognize that it's about God, that God is doing something in our midst. Amen? And so as we continue, children, point number one about why God wants us to become humble children is that children always hold their parents in high regards. And you think about a child, and you think about how they hold their parents, and it's always like, well, my dad could beat up your dad. Well, my dad makes more money than your dad. Or my dad, you know, it's always... I shared with last service that I had a friend, a good friend of mine growing up. And no matter what I did, I never, like, tried to compete or anything, but no matter what we had or what I did or what I had, His dad always one-upped me. If I had, like I said, if I had a bike and it was nice and shiny, well, his dad was going to get him one with rocket ships and, you know, a DVD player and a booming sound system. You know, we used to, I kind of grew up in the country, so we'd go fishing a lot. And I remember one time we were fishing. Well, my dad will buy me one with the range finder and the automatic net. You know, if I caught a fish, well, my dad caught one like 50 times bigger than that. And so as God's children, I really do believe that he wants us to have that heart, because we need to know the amazing God that we serve. That has to be our view of our God, that when he puts us in situations that might seem impossible to us, we need to know, we need to understand that our God is the creator of the universe. How much can he be trusted if he spoke and everything that we see just came into being? Andrew, that he breathed his life into us, that the reason we're here is because of our amazing God, that this whole universe is hung together because of his precision, because of his awesomeness, his greatness. Amen? And so as God's children, we need to have that mentality that he is the King of Kings, that we serve the Lord of Lords, that our God wants to do amazing things in our midst and for us and through us. Secondly, children always glorify their parents. I was reminded of a story. My wife, I wasn't actually there to hear it, but I remember when my son was a little guy. I mean, and like children do, they're, especially boys, they're very rough with their things. So I mean, he like constantly would break things, like his toys, his, you know, the G.I. Joes, his little action figures, the heads would fall off, you know. And after an epic battle, he'd come, you know, bring me a few with missing, you know, arms and legs, and he'd hand them to me. And no matter what condition they were in, I would somehow find a way to fix it. You know, I remember one time I had to take paper clips and I like drilled a little hole, and so his arm would hinge back together. And to him, he was so amazed. He knew, he just knew that anytime he had a broken toy, he could bring it to me and I would fix it. And I guess the way the story goes is that he was riding his bike, or the chain fell off, or something happened to his bike. And my wife was there and was unable to fix it. And the faith that he had, that he looked at her and he said, "It's okay, Mom. When Papa gets home, he'll fix it. My Papa can fix anything." And so that's the mentality that we have to have about the God that we serve, that he can resurrect any situation we get ourselves into. Just think about it. He has the name that's above every other name. His name is above our financial crisis. His name is above our health. His name is above, you know, the weather, above any other thing, that's the God that we serve. And as children, we need to learn that we can depend on that. The same way my little Sophia and my son depend on us putting food on the table, that they don't worry, is the same way we need to depend on God. We need to come as humble children. Third, when we humble ourselves, we become great in the kingdom of God. We need to learn, again, like I said, to become dependent on our God. And that's one of the very hardest, I think that's one of the hardest things for us to do as believers, because we come into a situation and we think we know better. We think we're going to help God out, you know, as if God was like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry, Juan, I didn't see that. And thanks for the help. You know, I couldn't have done that without you. You know, thanks for filling in when Pastor Ed was gone." Whew, I was kind of starting to worry there. I didn't know who was going to be able to fill in those great big shoes of that awesome man. But no, God is in charge of everything, and we need to have that in our heart. We need to know. We need to be humble. We need to, I wouldn't say lower our expectations. And I really do feel that the disciples probably were honest in their venture. They probably did want to see the kingdom of God move. And again, like I said, I really feel that God is going to begin to move inside of us. So we need to be ready and have that humility to know that it's not us, that it's not about CCC, but it's about the kingdom of God. It's about our King. It's about Jesus moving inside of us. I spoke with Ryan earlier, and I think I get a solid 2 hours. So I hope you guys got snacks. If you guys get hungry, I know that there's cookies. I was told last service that I did go a little bit over. So this time I'm going to try to cut it short. And I do believe if the cookies don't suffice, we could maybe release you guys row by row, go downstairs. I believe the nursery's probably stacked, right? We'll figure something out. So don't worry, I got you guys. Don't worry. I want to close with this. Think about what made our Savior, what made God, what made Jesus so amazing, so great, is that his heart was to please his Father. It was never about him. Even though God was incarnate in him, even though he had all power and authority, he came to serve us. He came to give us a model. He came to give us an example. And that's one of the things that first impressed me about Pastor Ed, is how amazing his heart is for our community to serve, to give. And I really do believe that that's a God thing, and how, he brings things together when it's not an agenda of man, but it's God's Spirit moving in our midst. Just the same way he was moving in the disciples, he's here with us doing amazing things, church, and get ready for that. Get ready, but we have to learn to be humble. We have to be in our word. We have to know God's heart the same way that the disciples. And I challenge you guys, I'm going to give you guys homework. I didn't give it to the last service, but I challenge you guys, look at a child. Look at the way that they depend on their parents. And I feel that God wants us to have childlike faith, not childish faith. Not to throw tantrums and, God, you need to give me this. And if you don't do that, I'm not going to church. I showed up, so, kids are good at that. They kind of know how to work us. It's like, but we know, right, as parents, we know when they're trying to work us to get something. Like my Sophia, I cleaned up my toys. Can I get something else? And it's like, no, thank you, but you're not getting anything. Amen. So be ready. Back to what made Jesus great is that you see that in all of his walk here is that, when he went to that cross, when he went to die for our sins, he was afraid. He cried out to God, and he was so nervous that he sweat blood. But what were his famous words? Not my will, but your will be done. When he taught us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, to put him as great, to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what follows after that is the humility. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. It's about God. It's about us learning to humble ourselves, to bring our thoughts, to bring our things and put them at the foot of the cross, to say, God, because Scripture makes that clear, that when we love things more than God, that puts us at odds with him. He has to be the king. He has to be the one that governs our lives. Amen. Just like we know as parents, when a child tries to, how funny would it be if my daughter were to get up and say, listen, Pops, this is what I'm going to have for breakfast. I want some Oreo cookies with, Snickers. Be like, what? Must have lost your mind, girl. And that's how I feel sometimes we are with God. Like our prayers, not that, I don't think she's being selfish when she does that, but she thinks that stuff is good and healthy for us. But as parents, we know better, amen? So we need to have that dependence on God to know that he's going to do amazing things in our midst, amen? Just like the disciples. If you can bow your heads for prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are an amazing God. Father, and as we learn to walk with you in humility, we thank you, first of all, for what you've done for us on that cross, Lord, that we could come before you just as we are, Father, with all of our faults, acknowledging, God, that we need you, Lord, that we are dependent on you, Father, that we need your wisdom to walk with you, Father, that we need your help. And that everything that you have already done for us, Lord, may we learn to rest, God, in the fact that you have already purchased everything that we need, Father, that you have deposited everything that we will ever need for this life, God. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen.